From the central coast of California, across the nation and around the world, bringing you conscious living through positive thinking. It's time to turn the lead in your life into gold. It's Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani on Radio Monterey.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air,
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming for the open mind. Go to RadioMonterey.com. Download the free apps for both Google or your iPhone, iPad. Listen, go to the schedule. Find the shows and the hosts that you like and listen to them. Support them. And support Radio Monterey, because we're supported by listeners. Without you, there is no Radio Monterey. Oh, excuse me. I'm doing something I teach all my hosts not to do, which is suck on a cough drop. They were working on the roof and started some banging, and suddenly all kinds of dust and everything got on me. I was coughing, sneezing, trying to clear it all out. So I do apologize for that. By the way, Magic for Life is also the promoter producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. And we look forward to seeing you. Boy, this is really lined up as a powerful Rhoda Fair, Rhoda Psychic Fair. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a mystery show. I'm going to do a Magic of Spring show on Saturday night, May 2nd, as part of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. But Rhoda Psychic Fair is still only $10 for admission. You can get the coupons for $8 off. Sign up on the rhodapsychicfair.com website to get on the email list. We're going to be sending out the discount coupons by email this time, no longer by mail. So make sure you get on that list. We're going to start sending those this week, and we'll send them a couple of times this month to make sure everybody gets their admission discount as well as their reading discount. And come on out. We're looking forward. This is going to be a very fun time. Beltane, May Day, sun, fun, people, just come join the fun. Now, tonight, I have a few issues of concern. But before I start with that, I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Excuse me. Here's my issues of concern. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Michelle Meow, the show right before us, and getting tickled by the fact that she was touching on a topic very similar to the topic I want to touch on. But mine's a little different. Mine's very simple. You can't be a conservative and be a Christian. I've noticed that the conservatives have adopted the idea that they're the only good Christians in the world, and therefore, anything that goes against their conservative agenda is an infringement of their religious freedom. Now, I think 5 weeks ago, maybe six, I did a show on bullshit. This mantra of the conservatives falls clearly into my bullshit show. This is nonsense. This becomes the story of the bully on the playground who gets told or put in their place, now cries that the other people are bullying them. We see that based on the story in Indiana of the pizza parlor that said, I would serve a gay if they came in, but I wouldn't cater or provide pizzas to their wedding. It's an interesting story because the background is they called the radio station. So what's now happened in the conservative blogosphere is they've turned up that a liberal media ambushed these poor people, and they found somebody willing to say their dastardly thing and then skewer them across the internet. Actually, it's just the opposite. These people called the radio station and said they would talk of their Christian. They would talk about their Christian belief and how they will apply the law with their business. They actually asked for the interview. And so they got the interview. They said what they wanted to say. And then right after that, the GoFundMe account was created by a right-wing operative. And they've collected over $840,000 to assist them for being the poor, put upon people for their religious bigotry. This is just goes down into the BS category of everything else. It was self-created. It's been spun up. And the worst part is, who's standing there in the media or otherwise to say that these religious freedom laws are not about religious freedom? They're about bigotry hidden behind the pages of the Bible. Excuse me. You see, we've gone through this before, and you've heard this mantra said by others, so I'm not new to this, is that this is exactly what's been used for the oppression of other people, for slavery, for everything else, is to use the words of the Bible and twist them to have a meaning that makes it serve to oppress other people. Matter of fact, if you haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, there's a really interesting series there on one of the plantations where they must attend their Sunday lectures with the plantation owner. And naturally, he's explaining that everything they're supposed to do to obey their master as directed by the law of God in the Bible. So instead of worrying that liberals, people who accept people, people who are trying to give rights to people, people who are trying to create programs or opportunities for people who are less fortunate or don't have opportunities available to them, instead of worrying that those people are, one, damaging the economy, and two, destroying Christianity, the people who are destroying it are the ones who are creating the boundaries, the barriers, and the walls. I'll put it a different way. The conservatives. They're driving people away because they're sticking to a hardcore formula, and they're hypocritical about it at the same time. For instance, if you want to talk about Leviticus, saying that being gay is bad, and at the same time, if you're wearing a blended fabric or you have tattoos or perhaps you've associated with a known adulterer, or for instance, or you eat shellfish, you're in fact violating the same set of laws that says being gay is bad. You can't pick and choose. You can't say this one serves my bigotry and this one doesn't, so I'm going to ignore it. I saw a wonderful cartoon over the weekend where it had Jesus and somebody came to him with the loaves and fishes, and he's saying, make sure you check out there to see if there's any gays, because we're not going to give any of this to them. And it made me laugh. It made me laugh out loud. Because the one thing I am positive about is that if Jesus were alive today, the conservatives would hate him. The conservative Christians would hate him. The evangelicals, the rigid, dogmatic Roman Catholics would hate Jesus. Because Jesus was actually an anarchist. Jesus was actually a revolutionary. Jesus would not necessarily associate with me, so don't get me wrong on that. I'm not claiming that he would come and say, "Hey, Solazar, need you for one of my my apostles or disciples." Nah, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that he was against everything that these people are building. You know, when he drove, it's an interesting story when Jesus drove the money changers from the temple, because that was really about commerce. And I'm sure from theologians, there's a lot of discussions about the meaning of that. But let's think about that. The center for commerce in the Jewish communities of that time were the synagogues, were the temples. That's where it happened. And what would happen is people would come there to buy their sacrificial animals for the variety of sacrifices or special meals that they were to prepare as directed by Jewish law. Now, people would travel from all over to do that. So the money changers were actually there to assist the commerce. In other words, they weren't going there and pulling people and say, "Hey, bud, come here. Let me change your money for you." So the whole idea of Jesus going there and driving the commerce away from the synagogue and the temple is one that certainly stymies me. And you could put your own meaning or spin on it. But what he was really doing was interrupting the commerce. He was interrupting the commerce of that society. He was interrupting the commerce of that society that was inherent to that society. That is an anarchist. You know, you could put all the spin on it based on what he said, what he didn't say, what he meant, what he didn't mean. And for all of you who are saying, "Well, here's what he meant," you don't know what he meant. You could tell me, "Here's what you think he meant. I'll go with that. You think he meant this, or you think he meant that, or here's what it means for you. I'm good with that. Just don't tell me what he meant." Like some of these preachers standing there on Sunday on TV, you know, "What God said." Well, you don't know what God said, because that written word came from a human being. So I want to know which of those preachers are willing to accept channeled guidance that comes through a channel today, accept it verbatim, without question, in all cases. That's essentially what they're doing with that book. That book that has more contradictions in it than a novel written by a second grader. But it's interesting that the conservative movement has such a huge, huge amount of hypocrisy built into it. They spend their time creating narratives to justify their belief. It's a lot like when Pat Robertson said, "Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans because God was mad at what the gay agenda. The gay agenda is destroying Christianity." Really? Really? Did you know that black people do not have the intelligence to achieve success in some higher level employment? Did you know that? Oh, you didn't. Yeah, because that was common knowledge in the 1700s and 1800s. Did you know that black people are really the children of Cain who are to be scorned by all society? You didn't know that. Oh, yeah, that was common knowledge during the 1800s. As a matter of fact, it was part of the mantra of the Church of Latter-day Saints, which just began admitting black people, I believe, in the mid-80s. What's my point? My point is simple. They're all full of crap. They're all full of crap. I don't care what your spiritual belief is, and I'm not against your spiritual belief, and I'm not against you on any spiritual journey or tools you pick up along the way to support your journey. But if you are part of a church citing dogma, citing that they know exactly what Jesus meant, then you are part of a cult, just like Scientology, just like Church of Latter-day Saints, which is a cult. You are part of a cult. Now, could good things come out of a cult? Absolutely. Speaking of things coming out, excuse me while I blow my nose. I cannot believe this is going on. Maybe this is a scourge coming down to me. I'm going to walk out of the studio and find locusts. And I can say that because it's not going to happen. Just as conservatives really being Christian is not going to happen, because if they're Christian, they wouldn't be citing these mantras that they're citing. You can't be a current Republican conservative today and be a Christian, because what they're doing is exclusionary of everyone. This whole issue about religious freedom laws, there is an amendment to the Constitution that says there will be no law barring nor affecting the establishment of a national religion. No religion is barred. No religion is barred. The metric is really, is it a religion? Is it something dealing with people's souls, salvation, or ability? One of the problems that Scientology had is that all the money that they collected, which they wanted to be tax-free, had nothing to do with supposed Scientology doctrine for the sake of the souls of the people. It was supposedly training of the people. It's a very different thing. Really, not even a fine line. Let's just get right down to it. They're bogus. So, Jesus Christ said, and he wasn't the Christ in the Bible, of course, that was deigned on him later, but Jesus said, turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:39, and that those who take the sword will perish with the sword, Matthew 26:52. Why are Republicans so hell-bent on always raising the sword? Why are Republicans always hell-bent to say that an alternative view is actually smiting down their belief system? The only time someone needs to be worried about that alternative view is if they know that their view is bogus and that view could threaten their bogus view. I don't know what you think about Pat Robertson, but I think he's so pretty much Looney Tunes and he belongs in the cartoons. He's a fruitcake. There's something wrong with that man. That man can spew more invective with a voice dripping honey than anyone I've ever seen. He can make it seem so real that God really wants the gays punished. Real. And get people to send him money so that he can do the work of God punishing the gays. Well, you know, I was talking to God yesterday. We just had a few moments together. I asked him what he felt about the gays. And he reminded me that everyone was created in his image and likeness. Therefore, he loved them all. He loves all of his children. Each and every one of us are a unique indicator of some talent, skill, ability, or reason for being here. It's not a question of accidents. It's not a question of the gays are just somebody who made a choice. It's like I always like when the ministers come up and say, you know, well, they're choosing that lifestyle. Really? Because I think when you're a teenager, it really makes more sense to me for you to choose the lifestyle that allows you to be further ostracized from the mainstream of society, or maybe, as in several cases, even rejected by your family. You should see the story about Jesus Camp, where they send the kids out of country to kind of bring them back to the fold because they might be gay, or they've determined that they're gay, and they're embarrassment to their parents. It's disgusting what people do in the name of religion. Now, I think any form of bigotry is disgusting, but bigotry is a learned behavior. And when people learn it using the covers of the Bible as their authority, the problem with that is they create a position that says, because this is the word of God, nothing you say can change that, because you are just a mere mortal. You are not speaking from the throne of the heavens. Excuse me. Therefore, that is just your opinion, and it is only the opinion of a man or a woman. This is the word of God. Dun, 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 dun. You can almost hear somebody in the background like they used to do in the old radio days with a big piece of tin foil for lightning and thunder, shaking it. You know, Jesus said, "Woe unto you that are rich, and it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, let me tell you what I think he meant by that. Did I think he's damning people who are rich? No. I think what Jesus is damning is people who are able to live in the luxury of their riches and not care for others around them, not contribute to the society to assist and support others around them, versus those who did not have, worked with others, they bartered with others, they assisted others, they traded favors with others, but those who are wealthy did none of that. That's what I believe he meant by that. Because I don't believe it's wrong for people to be rich. I think it's wrong with what they do with it. You know, that so many of the things Jesus said are open to interpretation. And the question always is, what would Jesus do? So I really ask, would Jesus go ahead and picket a Planned Parenthood clinic? You know, we had that issue in Indiana. We have two issues in Indiana. We have a county in Indiana that has one of the largest outbreaks of HIV. Now, one of the things that people don't pay attention to is that most, and I'm going to say most, because I know there's some bullshitters out there that would say it's not most, it's the other way. Most Planned Parenthood clinics spend most of, actually all Planned Parenthood clinics spend most of their time on things other than abortions or abortion counseling. One of the things that they do, they deal with safe needle use. They deal with all sorts of protections. And they were one of the main instruments in the educating of people on the non-transmission of HIV and or other transmittable diseases that can be transmitted through intravenous drug use and other ways. And Indiana closed a lot of their clinics, their Planned Parenthood, because after all they were doing was going around marketing for people to get abortions, because that's obviously what Planned Parenthood has done all these years. They've snuck up on us so that they can market. As a matter of fact, I just had five of them accost me yesterday trying to get me to go have an abortion on Friday, you know. So, but no, we had to then take people who were doing good work, who were assisting people, supporting people, helping to clean and support society. We had to take them, shut them down, accuse them of something that they don't do, which is that they're marketing abortions, that that's their primary thing. I even have someone who came to me and said, well, they don't give everybody all the options. And I said, yes, they do. Oh, no, they don't. And I was told to read this book that was written by this woman out of Texas. So I looked at it. Well, the book is bogus. She's a liar. She actually is a liar. She did work for Planned Parenthood. She did work in all those times. Her facts have been destroyed, but none of the Christian sites that want to put her up as the leading light of showing that she went from being a person who supported abortion to being against abortion, they don't want to look at the fact that she actually manufactured facts to sell her story. She made her story one that is not proven by the facts on the ground. And yet they tout her as this is the only true story. It's the one. It's the one. So all of us, I don't care if you're right, left, or indifferent, we've all got to look when we only have the one. Now, for instance, if I know that some of the things I'm talking about are not as easy to come by than some of the other things, I can tell you why that is. It's because Christian groups, just like Scientology, just like conservatives, sit there banging away at the internet to try to put things out there so that if you're looking for information like I'm trying to share with you, it's harder to find because it's further down in the search engines. I know that, and that's factual. But look at the sources. Look at where it's coming from. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody out there who's a Christian who's listening. I'm not against you, man. I'm really not. But I am against the dogma, and I'm against the Bible, and I'm against the Quran, and I'm against the Torah, and I'm against all of these things as the infallible Word of God. I am not against any of them as knowledge, wisdom laid down by our ancestors that is worthy of study and reasonable understanding. But when you tell me it's the infallible Word of God, I just think of Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country. How many of you remember that movie with the original Star Trek cast? And we had, can't remember the actor's name, who played Spock's brother. And what he said is he had discovered the place that was the origin of all life. The Garden of Eden for humans and Shaktari for Vulcans and everything else. And they went beyond the edge of the galaxy, beyond the edge of the galaxy to get there into forbidden space. And they came to this planet. And Spock and James Kirk and, of course, Kirk's brother and Spock's brother, I think Scotty, and naturally Bones and a couple of other crewmen, because you've always got to have somebody who's going to die. So they went down onto this planet, and this form appeared, kind of like this large celestial kind of face in the air, and said, "Oh, you're here. Good. You have a starship." You know, and they said, "Well, who are you?" "I am He Who Is." And he said, "We can take your starship and leave this place." And Spock says, "Excuse me." And he says, "What does God need with a starship?" And naturally, this being started beating them around and everything else. And Spock is telling him, "You need to answer the question." And of course, the real issue is that we have a need as human beings to have a belief system that provides support, knowledge, and wisdom. We don't like to believe that something happened because it happened. And I'm one of those people. I'm all for that. I believe that there's a purpose behind everything that happens. It's just I don't always know the purpose, and I may not always know the purpose. What I do know is my challenges, my struggles, my difficulties are the areas that provide opportunity for me to grow. I think of it in terms of the Matrix movies, where they say they created an ideal planet for these people to live, but they hated it, so they had to create this matrix of struggle, of striving, of ups and downs and ins and outs, because that's what the human being seems to need. And actually, that's been found time and time again to happen with human beings, is that we somehow need that stretch in order to grow, in order to find some satisfaction and completion. That being said, we don't need to manufacture the stretch. What's a manufactured stretch? A manufactured stretch is that I need God to write in a book that if I do or don't do something, I'm going to burn in hell. We don't need that. That's created for power. Power is not the mantra of God. Let's be real clear. Let's lay it out. If God is the all-being, all-knowing being that is professed by these Christians, if God is the all-loving, omnipotent being that is professed by these Christians, if we are created in the image and likeness of God, why would God hate any of us? Why would God need any of us? I once said in a session where there was channeled through guidance from some masters, and they were caustic and critical and putting everybody down, I made the comment, I said, if those are ascended masters, I don't want to be like them. I already know how to do that. It's the same thing with God. God does not need us to worship, adore, provide reverence, or do anything. Why? Because the being of God, if it's as these people believe, is above and beyond that need, which is a human need. We need that. We're not God. We're divine, but we're not God. What's our journey in life? Being as divine as possible. getting to the point where we ourselves can feel our godlike qualities in all circumstances and situations. But we're not there yet. Excuse me. So therefore, creating all these rules that say, thou must do this for God, thou shall do this for God. If you don't do this, God's going to be pissed. Those are created by man for power. Every church, every organized religion has created a structure for power and power only. God does not need you to sit in reverence. God does not need you to attend services on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. God has no need of those things. How do I know that? Because think of the premise of God to begin with that I've been talking about. God is above and beyond those human needs. Those are human conditions. Those are church laid out conditions so they can ask you to open your wallet and pass some money toward the center pew. So what we're seeing in this country is a takeover. A takeover by faux Christians in the Republican Party who are trying to take their fundamentalist beliefs and determine that that is the nature of the United States of America. That's what we're all about. Of course, I have trouble with that. I have trouble with that because I have a few quotes. Thomas Jefferson. I am for freedom of religion and against all maneuvers to bring about a legal ascendancy of one sect over another. The Treaty of Tripoli, signed by John Adams. The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. Founding Father Thomas Jefferson, in every country and in every age, the priest has been hostile to liberty. He's always in alliance with the despot, abetting his abuses in return for protection to his own. It is error alone that needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. Now think about that. Think about how during World War II, how many churches, for instance, Catholic Church, made pacts with Nazi Germany and Hitler, made pacts in order to protect their property, their practices, and therefore did not support the genocide, did not assist those going through the genocide. Oh, individuals did, but not the church. And don't turn around and tell me that, oh, there's nothing bad in religion. Look at all the people doing good under the name of religion. You're right, but not the church. That's the whole thing. If I could conceive that the general government might ever be so administered as to render the liberty of conscience insecure, I beg you will be persuaded that no one would be more zealous than myself to establish effectual barriers against the horrors of spiritual tyranny and every species of religious persecution. George Washington. May 1789. Our founding fathers did not intend, nor did they create, a Christian country. We are a country where a great deal of Christian sects came because they were being persecuted in their native lands. They came here to practice their religion with freedom, without persecution. The mistake we're making in the modern age is we're taking that to mean we're a Christian country, and therefore we have the right to impose that belief structure on each and every person for everything. We forget that when we're talking about religious freedom, all we're really talking about in these laws is bigotry hidden behind the pages of a Bible. We're talking about using someone's faith, which is a personal structure of belief that they've put together based on something someone told them or something they believe, but it's their faith, not facts. Someone's faith that says, if I do commerce in the public square, I should have the right to discriminate against anyone that I choose. Therefore, instead of saying, Irish need not apply, no Italians allowed, colored whites only, coloreds only, we can now have gays need not apply, no gays allowed. That's all we're doing, is we're shifting the bigotry from one segment to another. Now, when I grew up, I remember being taught in school that the beauty of the United States of America was that we were a melting pot. We were an amalgam of cultures and beliefs that made us unique and different from many homogenous countries in Europe and around the world. And that is true. It's really hard to say what the culture of the United States is because there is no individual culture. There's so much that's been contributed to by so many. Although the most common language besides English spoken in the U.S. is Spanish. But what I do know is this, is that religion is just something we can use privately for our souls. But when we're using religion to oppress anyone, you have to question the religion. You have to question the belief. You have to question how it could possibly be the foundation of anything other than bigotry. I remember the song, you have to be taught to hate and fear. You have to be taught from year to year. It has to be drummed in your dear little ear. You have to be carefully taught. Just think of how many times in the history of our country we have allowed religion to not be the bastion or the leader or at the forefront of bringing people up, but we've allowed religion to be at the forefront of pushing people down. I'd like to say I'm not against religion, but let me be honest. I am. I'm against all religion. But I'm not against your spiritual beliefs. If you find your spiritual journey as part of some kind of religion that's out there right now, and you're not imposing it, pushing it, or forcing it on others, blessings to you. But when we look at what these religions do in the name of God, then we have to question what the real intent is. And the intent is one thing and one thing only. It's power and it's control. During the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church was responsible for more people dying from the plague because of its actions and how it chose to deal with the problem than the plague itself. The Catholic Church, as we know, the plague was caused by rodents. And some think not even necessarily even rats, but it could have been gerbils. But the rodents were managed in the population through cats. But cats were considered the familiars to witches, which were being killed randomly by the Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. And they would kill their cats because the cats were bearers of the magic that led to the witchcraft. So therefore, the absence of cats allowed the rodents to proliferate. It went on for 5 or 6 more years than it probably needed to if we just left the cats alone. Maybe they still would have killed the witches. But my real point is that we are fighting old battles with new coats of paint on them and still acting as if they're valid. I think the criminal aspect of what's going on in our society right now is not that these dialogues occur. It's that our media gives them attention as if they're valid. It's as if our media doesn't have the wherewithal to say, this is a specious and bogus argument. There is no need for a religious freedom law in any state in the union. Our Constitution guarantees religious freedom. And this religious freedom law is doing several things. It's actually extending religious freedom to companies, which is an extension of what our Supreme Court did, because our judicial process at the Supreme Court is not judicial. It's political operatives wearing black robes and lifetime appointments. And what did they do in the Hobby Lobby case? They said Hobby Lobby, as a business, a commercial business in the public sector, had the right to deny birth control in their medical plans to employees because it wasn't in concert with the religious beliefs of the owners of Hobby Lobby. And my real position on that is, get some new beliefs then. But that is imposing a religious view into the public sector. That is creating a discrimination in the public sector. And our Supreme Court allowed that. And they could go through whatever their legal meandering or masturbation is that they want to say, here's why it was valid. But it's not valid. It will never be valid. When we allow a theocracy to impose itself, we become the theocracy. Now, we already know from the Princeton study, we're no longer a democracy. We're an autocracy. You know, we're owned, bought and owned by the corporations. But there's another corporation out there. And this one has an authority that even the other corporations can't get to because they got God. Yeah, they got God. They got the books that God wrote. God sat down one day, wrote a couple of competing books, has a bunch of people who kind of point fingers at each other and says, mine's right, mine's right, mine's right. Yeah, you look at the lifespan of any author and you can see changes in their writing, you know. So I don't know. I don't think any of them are right. But the real point is that we've got competing forces going on right now, and it keeps us distracted from what the real move is. What's the real move? The real move is make your life a life that doesn't rely on any of them. Don't rely on the corporations. Don't rely on religion. Make your life a life that shows your divinity and showers it without the need for their control. And speak out against their control. Don't be a sheep that just sits around and says, hey, you know, that's okay. That's those other people. I'm not going to get involved in this conversation. That's where 5 or 6 weeks ago when I did the bullshit show, that's what I was talking about. We have got to not allow people to get away with the nonsense when they're throwing it out there as if it's true. It is not true that there's a need for religious freedom. It is not true that the law passed in Indiana was about religious freedom. I don't care how many times they say it was or that we need to really understand what their intent was. We understand what their intent was. Their intent was to deny service to gays and lesbians. Period. And actually, anyone else that they chose to at any point in time, because essentially, under the tenets of that law, they could. You know, actually, you know, under my religion, it is not good to be around people with hair. So I'm going to start denying service to anybody that has hair on their head because it's my religious belief. I mean, it's not like I want to. I mean, I'm okay with it, but, you know, God doesn't want to. I mean, that's how ridiculous this nonsense is. So we need to get away from allowing people to get away in the public square with the BS, with the nonsense, and thinking it's okay for them to do that and sit back and say somebody else will take care of it. If you're the being of light, that means bringing light. Now, light doesn't mean putting on rose-colored glasses and saying, oh, you're being a good boy when you're strangling your sister to death. That's not being a good boy. Let's call them for what they are. They're bullies. They don't like being told that they're bullies. They react as if they're being bullied when they're told that they're bullies. But don't be pushed or berated the wrong way by them. Know the truth. Speak the truth. Find out your facts. Explore your information. We're not a Christian nation, never have been. We've allowed religion and Christianity to seep into our culture in a big way. You know, Bill O'Reilly is now on his war against Christians after his war against Christmas is supposedly over. Excuse me. You know, Bill O'Reilly also has a problem with truth, but, you know, he doesn't call that a war on truth because Bill O'Reilly is loose and fast with it. Let's not be sold the bill of goods. Let's not buy this rotten wood and be told that it's natural wood that can be used for anything. Let's call it what it is. Let's call these fruitcakes what they are. They are bigots. They are hiding behind religion. They're using their religion to foster bigotry. They're claiming that they're being imposed upon when it's been determined that almost 80% of the United States identifies as being Christian. Now, they're not necessarily all in religions, but about 80% identifies as being Christian or having some form of Christian belief system. Where could 80% of a population, the majority, the super majority of a population, where could they possibly be being denied rights? Are we saying that the 20% control everything and are denying rights to everybody who's a Christian? No. What we are saying is that I have a right to go out and have a meal without having somebody come and proselytize to me about their religious faith. I have that right. Now, if I'm there with a friend and the friend is doing it, that's a different situation. But I don't have to be approached either by the owner of that business or anything else. I don't have to be confronted with their faith. I don't have to open a menu and see Bible verses. That's imposing your belief system on me. That's what it means. So when we say that in our Constitution, what we're saying is that we have the right to practice any religion as we choose, that doesn't mean we have the right to push our religion onto other people. It also doesn't mean that any federal agency or state agency should support any religious practice. So when these people got into this big thing, even about the war against Christmas, remember what they were objecting to. They were objecting to a 1930s initiative that was very successful. It was a marketing initiative to get people out to shop for Christmas so stores could sell toys. So they could sell more goods and merchandise. That initiative was so successful that today people act like that's the way it's always been. It has not always been that way. I had somebody who called me and said, did you know that In God We Trust was just put on our money in 1950? Yes, I knew that. It was an outcome of the McCarthy era. When it was determined we needed to prove that we were not godless communists. So In God We Trust was put on the United States currency. And that's when it was also put into the Pledge of Allegiance. It wasn't written that way. It hasn't always been that way. It didn't come down the mountains in the arms of Moses. These are things that we have imposed by direct initiative of a group of people. They even put together a group of preachers starting in the 30s to try to get Christianity more infused into the mainstream. And guess who was one of them? Now, he wasn't from the 50s. He was a little later. But Billy Graham was one of them. And you could take a look at Franklin Graham, his son. The difference between Billy and Franklin is that Billy was slicker. Franklin's just out there. He hides nothing. He doesn't hide his bigotry. He doesn't hide his small-mindedness, his narrow-mindedness, his corporate theocracy. He doesn't hide any of it. He's right there with it. Billy was a little slicker. He had people thinking to the public that he was a little slicker, but he wasn't. He wasn't. You should read more about him if you really want to know. But we've been sold a bill of goods. So my question to each and every one of you is, I'm not against this country. I'm not asking you to leave it. I'm asking you all to change it. Change it by changing yourself and making sure that we are not allowing the BS to stand as fact. Fact is fact. When it's not fact, let's call it for what it is. You know what that does? It offends some people. It gets some people mad. I'm not asking you to fight about it. Just call it for what it is. Well, that was my Solazar Speaks for today. Fortunately, you're going to have some real beauty in the second hour when Kirilani shares the energy coming up for this week and what's going on. You get to hear her dulcet tones. And I won't be ranting anymore. But I have been overtaken by this faux holiday of Easter that doesn't even exist at this time of year. That's based on a contradictory myth in three of the four Gospels. And yet we run around like the most important thing that happened this weekend is that somebody rolled back the stone from a tomb of a death that may not have occurred because there's no records of it in the Roman records, although they have records of everything else from that time period. No records of the crucifixion of a Jesus and his being put to death. So we've been being sold a bill of goods for generations. And we do not deserve to buy into it today. Believe what you want. Believe in Jesus. Believe in God. Believe in Christian values. I don't care. Those are good things to believe in. Just don't buy into any religion, anyone's religion. Don't buy into their belief structure. As a matter of fact, I'm going to close out this hour with my ode. I'm going to close it out with my ode to cynicism. I just have to reload the right CD. But it comes from the Aqualung album of Jethro Tull. And I'll just wait for it to load here. I appreciate you letting me go on about this. My real thing is, it requires each and every one of us to be vigilant. In order to be vigilant, we have to pay attention to where our God comes from. And this is My God from Jethro Tull. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
People, what have you done? Locked him in his golden cage. Golden cage. Made him bend to your religion. Him resurrected from the grave. From the grave. Is the God of nothing? If that's all that you can see. You are the God of everything. He's inside you and me.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy. So you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, where we bring you empowered programming for the open mind. Go to RadioMonterey.com. Take a look at the schedule. Listen to the host. Listen to the information. Give yourself information that's away from the noise of the corporate media. And Magic for Life is also the promoter, producer of the Rota Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Boy, this is really shaping up to be an exciting fair. And it's Beltane and May Day and spring and sun and fun. Really looking forward to this. Plus, Saturday night, May 2nd, I'll be doing my Magic of Spring presentation performance. So come on by. It's a special, separately priced event, but you will enjoy it. Come to the fair, commune with everybody, enjoy it, make it the community event it's always been. Now, For those of you who listened during the first hour, I kind of did my rant about Republicans, conservatives, and Christianity in general, kind of laid it all out there because I've just been so frustrated with all that's going on in the corporate media. But now you're in for a treat because, Kirilani, for those who didn't listen to our forecast call last Tuesday or the replay of it last Friday or the replay of it last Saturday, for those who didn't, Kirilani is going to help share with us as we go forward the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Olazar. And, gee, how do we follow that first hour? Because it becomes kind of interesting when you look at the crux of where we are with the energy of this year, with the energy of this month, and the time period we're in. So let's get to it. You know, here we are in this month of April, and April every year brings us the energy of the 11, of what was originally considered the Christ consciousness. It is about unconditionality, unconditional love and hope and trust and faith. It's about inspiration. It's about compassion. And it's interesting because when we talk about the Christ consciousness, it almost has a spin on it or a perception of something different than that core of truth of what it really is. And if we look at all of those world religions and get behind the dogma and get behind the control and get behind the power aspects of it, and just say, what are the fundamental elements that each of those was attempting to bring forth at its core? And at the core, they're very similar. It's about love. It's about light. It's about truth. It's about life. So if we can use this month of April to move beyond that limited view of the Christ, move beyond that as being something outside of yourself, that there's going to be some savior coming down to save you from your alleged sins, to save you from this world that we've created, to save you from the mess in your life that you've created, and realize that you are the only person who can save yourself, and that that Christ essence is in each one of us, that spark of love and light and life and truth is in each one of us. And April every year is intended to fan the flames of that spark, to allow that to become a flame in your heart, to allow you to share that light and connect with other people with that light to light up the world. And it is through that that we uplift. It is through that that we inspire. It is through that that we shine the authenticity of our soul. So here in April, we already have been on this huge roll for the energy since the first of the month on Wednesday. So today is now the fifth day in a row of huge things going on energetically. So hopefully you had a beautiful, fabulous weekend. And today brings kind of, I don't want to say it's a culmination of that energy, because as we work through the month, there will be a number of huge energetic peaks that we're rising to. But today brings one of those peaks because it's asking each of us to dig down to a greater level of authenticity of who we are, of looking at the gifts that we bring to this world and be willing to share those, to be willing to shine that light, to be willing to be the fulfillment of our potential, the fulfillment of the promise of who we are, and to realize that it is time for us to take our power in the world, to take our power as alchemists of illumination, to take our power as the shapeshifters of reality, to realize we are not powerless, helpless beings, that as we stand in our truth, as we gather all of who we have been in past lives, in this life,
gather all of our truth of who we are to us and shine that with love in the world and come together with others, we can create amazing things. So this is a day to honor and to accept the responsibility and the accountability of what we do with our light in the world, with the light that we were given for this life, to say, what am I doing with that life? Am I using it to the highest potential, to the highest possibility? Am I aligning with my soul to create something better, to move beyond the need of the Christ to be a sacrifice in the world, to move beyond the need to bring suffering and sacrifice into our lives? Now, if we can do that, we're doing miracles. And yet that's what this time period is about. So today is the day to acknowledge yourself as a Messiah, as a Christed being, as an alchemist of illumination, and to invoke those powers within you to be an inspiration in the world, to be that light of illumination in the world. And as we go through this week, we're still in the physical week of the month. And here is a year that is devoted to self-love. And so in the physical week, it's likely to bring up those things that we struggle with when it comes to self-love. So that self-love energy has an element to it that's all about learning balance. And whether we express on one side of the spectrum toward self-indulgence or the other side of the spectrum to self-denial, those things are likely to come up in the physical week. Those things where you still invite struggle and suffering into your life are going to come up in that physical week. So those aches and pains and boo-boos are coming up. How we treat ourselves, how we nourish ourselves, what you feed yourself, all those things come up. So it's good to be conscious of those things, to say, as we go through this week, how can you transform them? How can you look back on just the last 5 days and say, how could you refine or tweak that just a little bit? And then as we go through the latter part of this week, we'll be moving into the emotional week. And the emotional week in a year of self-love, in a month that's about unconditionality, in a millennium that's all about relationships and partnerships, is going to bring to fore, where in my relationships am I conditional? Where in my relationships do I bring forth a, okay, if you give me this, I'll give you that? That it becomes more of a business transaction and exchange versus a free-flowing exchange of love from the heart. And it's going to push us to say, where are those things that I limit what's possible in relationships by shutting down out of a lack of self-love, out of a lack of feeling worthy, out of a lack of self-acceptance or a lack of self-confidence? Those things are up, because the most important relationship we have in our life is our relationship with ourself, with our own soul. And in April, it's going to push us to say, can we move to loving ourselves unconditionally? If there are things that are on your list, and maybe it would be a really good thing to do that tonight, use this power of truth and clarity that today brings to sit down and say, are there any things that are on my list that would justify me as being unlovable? Is there anything on my list that would say, well, this is why I'm not worthy? And dissect them with a level of clarity and brutal truth to say, where did those beliefs come from? And are they truly true? You know, Byron Katie does some great work called The Work. And she actually does that incisive investigation into our, most of the time, misplaced beliefs, to dissect them and say, let's get under where that belief came from. And is it really true? These things that we believe so many times are these inflated fears, these inflated paranoid delusions. They're not based on observable fact. They're not based on truth. And yet, if we can have the courage to go through our own emotional closets and get those things out into the sunlight, out into the truth of that light, then they don't become these great monsters in our closet that we're afraid of. They allow us to be free. And that is ultimately where we're at right now. It's all about, what do you want to take into an era of limitlessness? Do you want to continue to hold yourself back? Because the bars to the cage are all the ones that we put there ourselves. This is our time to free ourselves from those self-imposed limitations, to free ourselves from those beliefs that no longer serve us, to allow our hearts to fly free, to allow love to flow as a force of creation through our lives and align with the divine, align with like-minded people, to create a reality that we haven't had, that wasn't possible before. But if we're hunkered down, just waiting for the storm to pass, we're missing the opportunity. So this energy, as we go from the physical to the emotional week, when we're in the heart of the creative cycle of the year, is a very rich, fertile time. So just if you are a gardener, if you look at this time of year, people are selecting their seeds. They're preparing the soil. They're going and saying, is it too cold to plant still? Or is it time to put those seeds into the ground? If you remember that your life is your greatest creation, what seeds are you planting for this life? What seeds are going to nourish and nurture you and help you thrive in this life, are going to help you see the beauty in life? Those are the things you want to be focusing your energy on right now. You want to focus your attention on. You want to give your desires to and give your passion to. Those are the things you want to spend some time on right now. So turn off the Dancing with the Stars. Turn off the TV. Turn off all those other things that we spend time on and spend a little time with yourself and say, what are those seeds? What is it that I want to create? It is such an amazing year. So if things are good in your life, how do you take it to the next level that self-love would bring? How do you bring yourself to a greater level of thriving? And if there is areas of your life, like most of us, where you may be stumbling a little bit, or there's a lot of stuff that kicked up for people in February in terms of relationships with family that you saw more truth in than March, those are the things that we can look at as our fertilizer to say, and our motivation to say, I am ready to create a higher quality of relationships in every area of my life, based on a higher level of self-love. And this lunar eclipse that we just went through over the weekend is accentuating that. It's pushing on us to look at the give and take in relationships, to look at the fairness in relationships, and to look at coming into a greater level of balance. So those are the types of things that will be up this week. And toward the end of the week, let me see here. On Friday the 10th, we have another really big energy day, and it's another one that is opening up to ask yourself, to plant yourself as that seed, to say, what kind of seed do you bring this world? What are your gifts that you bring to this world? And to really plant yourself as that seed of the divine to start blooming. Because you are here to be that bridge between heaven and earth. It is through our physical bodies. It is through our actual being that we carry these higher vibrations over time. And as this more these opportunities where there's greater light and love and information and energy coming onto the planet, it's all actually through the recalibration of our own vibrational frequencies that we can hold more of that light. We can express more of it unfettered into the world. That's our work of what we're here to do. And being that bridge, as the bridge moves from being a transient bridge that every time a storm comes through, it washes out, to becoming a very solid bridge where we are truly anchoring heaven to earth, where it's not an intermittent thing anymore. It is here now. That's these little windows, these little portals, like Friday is, that allow us to do that. And it's asking us to do that by being that Christed being in the world that moves beyond sacrifice, that moves beyond suffering, that is the source of inspiration, that is light and love. So it's a big week, a great week. And I think one where, how do I say this? A great week to be gentle with ourselves. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that could pull our energy and attention away from what's truly important. But if you're getting caught up in the craziness and the busyness and the drama in other people's lives, because there's a lot of drama going on right now, a lot of intensity going on right now, just keep coming back to your heart and breathe into that area. And listen to music or get outside in nature and align with the energy of the sun. You know, this month brings in this, when you combine it with a year, it really connects with that energy of Alpha and Omega, the beginning and endings. So it's going to turn over all these parts in our life to see more light to bring out to the sunshine. But if you go out and you spend some time in solar meditation, it helps to stabilize those frequencies and helps you just stay a little more centered inside of yourself. And that's the place to be for this week.
And actually, I'd like to share something here, if I may, that goes along with that. And it's from it's Day by Day with James Allen. I've talked about As a Man Thinketh. Some folks are not familiar with it. It was written around the turn of the century. And it's just one of those beautiful books that became the foundation of so much of the mantra and even part of the secret, the mantra of, as Earl Nightingale used to say, do you become what you think about most? What Napoleon Hill said, we are what we think. And as the secret said, as we create that intention and put it out in the world, we create that physical reality. But what it says for today, the day by day is set up almost like a daily journal, and they've broken down the writings into daily pieces. And what it says for today is, don't dwell on the sins and mistakes of yesterday so exclusively as to have no energy and mind left for living rightly today. And don't think that the sins of yesterday can prevent you from living purely today. And what they share in the narrative is that most people over 40 spend more time thinking and talking about the past or the good old days or what was, instead of the what is of where they are or even any hopes or dreams for the future. And so they said, take time right now to list events from your past that still may be holding you hostage. You know, for each item, go through this exercise. One, acknowledge the pain to you. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
Keep going.
Acknowledge the pain. Grieve the loss. Grieve whatever it was that you felt didn't happen or didn't occur, or didn't come to fruition, or that you lost, whatever. Forgive the persons involved, including yourself. Forgive yourself. And determined to release the event and move on.
Well, I love that you shared that. And, you know, we're still under the influence of the full moon, and it would be a great opportunity to do that tonight and just take it out and burn it under the moonlight, release and let all of that go. And that way it triggered one of the things that I forgot to actually talk about. This passage we went through over this last weekend also accentuates and this was through that lunar eclipse, accentuates the power of being in the present moment. And in this time of the creative cycle of the year, our place of power to create is the present moment. If our energy is focused on what happened yesterday or what happened this morning or what I didn't do right, you are actually squandering all of that life force energy. If all of my energy is focused on worrying about or planning for the future, but not actually taking action in the moment and planting the seeds, if all I do is keep planning what the garden's going to look like and I never get out there and plant the seeds in the ground, I miss that chance of allowing the creation to come into reality. So this is the time to stay very much in the present moment and just watch as you go through the day where your mind wanders and keep bringing it back to the present. And one of the best ways of doing that is, again, focusing on the heart and breathing through that area of the heart. It helps your heart and mind balance together and brings you into that present moment. And once you're in that place, then focus on what it is that you desire and fuel that desire and visualize that being in your life right now. And then go do one little step toward that. And it may not be a great big thing. It may take 10 seconds, right? But it's putting momentum. It's putting energy. It's like putting fertilizer on the seed and nourishing it to be planted in the ground. But that it's not just going to be planted and forgotten, that it is an active seed now. So thank you for sharing that, Salazar. It got me off on a whole nother direction here.
Yeah, one other quote that I had was from Jane Roberts that says, "You must love yourself before you love another. By accepting yourself and joyfully being what you are, you fulfill your own abilities, and your simple presence can make others happy." And I especially like this, Kira. The preceding the show, of course, was Michelle Meow, the LGBTQ show from out of San Francisco. And what I especially like listening to some of the Michelle Meow show and just thinking of the Indiana issue, thinking of so many things, is that so many people are in the business of this country of trying to make people not honor who and what they are. And it's not even just a gay thing or anything else. When we think of the bullying and we think of other things that go on, is that we're so busy and so afraid of people who don't fit a cookie cutter appearance definition of who they are. And so many of us have to wait till we become adults to recognize, hey, that was actually okay.
Yeah, and so now I'm going to go off on my own little
good
rant on this. So in my mind, it really comes back to this transition we made when we went from a time of limitlessness into a time of limitation, where we went into separation. And in that, it the way our minds are constructed looks to categorize every experience that we have, looks to put a label around it, looks to put even the language that we use, trying to find a word to describe something, actually constrains and limits that experience, because our language is so inadequate so many times to express what truly is happening on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. And yet, that was the construct we had in the world to be able to communicate and interact and function together. So when we're trying to dismantle those limitations, part of that is saying, I don't have to put everything in a box. And then once we put them in the box, we're then judging whether that's good or bad. So anytime we find ourselves in that state of judgment, it's a good you know, put a red flag down and say, how do I back away from this situation and go into my heart and use discernment to say what is best for me in this situation? But we can use the discernment without going in to the judgment and this constant divisiveness of this is good and that is bad and these people are right and those people are wrong.
Well, here's my moderated view of that. I agree with what you shared. I think part of the issue is too many people, and I mean just too many people, have a need to be the absolute knower of something, as opposed to, I may not know it all. I may not have it all. I may even be wrong. Because we've been, in our society, we've been taught that the idea is there's always a winner and there's always a loser. And actually, in order for there to be a winner, there must be a loser, by very definition. In order for there to be a wrong, there has to be a right. In order for there to be a right, there has to be a wrong. You know, it, by definition, those things, and those are man-made constructs. But where I'm going to is that I said earlier in the first hour, I'm okay if somebody says, I believe that the Bible or what Jesus meant in the Bible was this. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is somebody saying what Jesus meant was. The difference is I'm telling you that my understanding or my belief or my reading of that information leads me to believe it means this. I'm not okay with somebody saying, I have it locked. I know exactly what Jesus meant. Matter of fact, I was there the night he told Peter, and I am so sure that this is, you know, exactly what he meant. You know, and we talked about it into the long hours over a bottle of wine. You know, I'm tired of that. And so what we see in the dialogue, the polarity, is not a question of there are differing opinions. The polarity, for, I believe, is the need of some people to be absolutely right. It's an absolute.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I kind of feel where I am at now. That the underpinnings of all these things we thought to be truth and we thought to be right, many of them are changing. They're shifting sands. It's almost like quicksand. So to hold so tightly to something that, frankly, most of it is an illusion, if you actually look at people's language and say how much of those opinions are based on verifiable truth, a lot of that talk radio would break down, right? And yet, if someone is capable of communicating in that way, of anchoring with actual facts, what is measurable and what is their opinion and their belief or their speculation, it really changes the quality of communication. And I think if we can learn to do that more often, it becomes more effective. It leaves more space for to share perspectives and to come to a broader view of both parties.
And I think in order to do that, my belief is we have to be accepting of the differences in other people. It starts with us. So, for instance, I had a conversation with someone today, and I was saying how in the preparation for the Road Affair, I received an email from one of the readers that said, and I'm still praying for your continued health and well-being. And I told the person, I said, that scared the crap out of me. It sounds like they are looking that, and I know they didn't mean it that way, but the language makes it sound like they see something dire ahead for me, and they're hoping I'm not going to reach it. Well, then the person I was speaking to then said, and what triggers them, and I didn't notify this person and say I was triggered or anything, but they said what triggered them is the idea of the word prayer. And I was thinking, but see, if that person is a prayer who's sending it to me, I don't mind if they say they're praying for me. I don't mind that, whether I believe in prayer or don't believe in prayer. It doesn't matter. I actually also think sometimes on the let's say, a believer says even to an atheist, well, bless you, the atheist just doesn't have to accept it, but they need to accept it in the context of the believer. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we overinflate the wrong issues. The wrong issue is, if I'm an atheist and you're a Christian, don't sell me your belief, or we can talk about our differences, and I won't sell you mine. I won't impose it on you. But if you say to me, bless you, or I'm going to pray for you, fine, just accept it as a nice gesture. It's like somebody saying, I'm going to send you good thoughts. You know, now, the atheist may not believe that any of that helps, but it's the intention of the person sending it. It's not. And I think that's sometimes we create polarities around the nonsense, too, as if, well, you know, you're trying to impose your religion on me because you said you're going to pray for me. Nah, that's not what we're talking about. Saying that I can deny you service in a public place because of my religious belief is certainly imposing my religion on you. But if I just say I'm going to pray for you, do you see? And I think we get wrapped up in a lot of these details instead of saying, just like Namaste says, the divinity in me honors the divinity in you. We need to do more Namaste with people by honoring where they are at that moment, instead of saying, well, that's not where you should be. If you knew any better, you wouldn't be there, because that's the judgment you're talking about.
Or if you did it like me, you would be fine.
Exactly.
Right? You know, I think there's as many pathways to the divine and as many spiritual pathways as there are people. And, you know, you were talking in the beginning hour, you know, and if for some people that is organized religion and that works for them and brings them closer to God, so be it, right? For me, that wasn't where I found my truth, but I feel like the spiritual part of my life is the most important part.
Well, and I believe for everybody it should be. And I said this, even though it doesn't sound like that when you listen to everything I said, I really believe that if following an organized religion leads you on your spiritual path, that's good. It's following the organized religion that will not lead you on the spiritual path. So people are going to have to go back and parse that, because I think they know what I mean. There are... Even in the Going Clear movie, the HBO documentary about Scientology, there are people who said, hey, I did this, this, and this through Scientology and it helped me, and then I left. You know, they didn't kind of get wrapped in to everything that's going on that turns it into something less than.
Which is then remaining accountable to yourself instead of giving your power away to someone else.
I agree. And that's probably the underlying point that we just need to always stress for everybody, because it's for us and for them, is that we all need at all times to maintain the accountability to ourselves and to know where our own meter is. Where is our nonsense meter or BS meter that says, okay, now we've reached the point of no return on the BS. This is not me. I'm out of here. Because we can gain a lot of wisdom. I've read the Bible cover to cover a couple of times. I don't pretend to be a Bible expert, but you know me, I love learning about it. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing in there that's of value to a person, even in my opinion. My argument is, but when you then say, I must live my life by this and this and this, then you're not being accountable to you, because I believe as human beings, what we do is we take knowledge in, we assimilate it. And when you spoke about truth, I think your truth, my truth, and everyone's truth that's listening is all different, because the truth is the sum of our experiences, the sum of our learning, and the sum of how we found it best works for us.
Well, and it makes you think of The Matrix, right? The movie The Matrix, where... are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill? And so much of how we live is like living in this hologram. You know, we go through the motions of life,
And yet, is that the truth of what life is about? And are we at this point, do we have the courage to pull those veils away and really see the truth of our lives and the truth of our motivations? And in that truth, be willing to create a new way of being.
But I think that that's excellent, especially when you say, do you want to create, do you want to take the red pill or the blue pill? I think that that is exactly the question we need to ask ourselves at all times. Because we also have, what's his name in the movie?
Neo?
No, not no. Neo. Hold on. I'm going to get it. I can't remember his name.
And the I'm guy not, who couldn't handle the truth?
Cypher. yeah, he can't handle the truth. But Cypher, who even said to the agents, put me back in. I want it back in. In other words, reality was not what he wanted to deal with. Reality wasn't glamorous, wasn't sexy, wasn't anything. You know, and so for all of us, sometimes it goes back to the old mantra that I first heard Wayne Dyer say. I know he's not the first one to say it, is that before enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water.
But maybe you look at it through a different set of eyes.
Well, that's true. But what he's really saying is the idea of living our life doesn't ever go away just because suddenly someone's enlightened. That's really what it means. So sometimes the reality is we do laundry, we do garbage, you know, we do dishes, we do all of these things, we make meals. These are the things we do because they're the construct of living a life.
And can we do them in love instead of in resentment?
Or as
right?
as a chore, sure. But yeah. But my point is they don't go away. They never go away. And I think sometimes people think that
I'll have to remember that when I'm paying my taxes. Pay my taxes with love.
Okay, now I didn't have taxes on my list, so I'm not. But actually, there a lot of good things come out of the contribution of taxes, even though I too have issues. But where I was really going about that is we need to recognize that we're not here waiting to be saved. We're the person we've been waiting for. And like they always say, if you want to find out who can change your world, look into a mirror. We're the one, we're the divine, just like the Jethro Tull, my God, that I close out the first hour with, says, we're the God of everything. And we can create that reality. And tonight, Kira, also you wanted to close with a meditation.
Yes, and so given that we're in the heart of the creative cycle of the year, we wanted to use the creativity meditation and use it to tap into this Christ-conscious energy and uplift that within ourselves and within our lives. Well, and I'm excited because we haven't had time to do the creativity meditation for a long time, so...
So we're going to go ahead and get yourself comfortable, and I'm going to blow my nose one more time, excuse me. If you are driving a car, if you're listening on the car or on the phone in the car, give us your intention and not your focus. For everyone else, just sit comfortably. Get in a comfortable place. Don't lie down. Make sure you're seated. See with your back against the back of your chair, or if you're on an ottoman against a wall. Sit a little forward on the edge of the chair, couch, or bed, but not so you're not leaning back. Far enough forward so you have weight on your feet. You want your feet flat on the ground with your spread a little bit. Allow your hands to rest loosely in your lap. Keep your hands loose. Now imagine a weight attached to your tailbone anchoring you to your seat. Allow your shoulders to relax. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. As you inhale, allow your abdomen to gently expand. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. As you breathe, listen to the sound of my voice. Take a long, deep breath. Say out loud, I give myself permission to meditate for 5 minutes. Each breath in is warm, relaxing, peaceful. Each breath out releases your worries, your cares, your stress. Breathe in. Breathe out. In your mind, say, I give myself permission to meditate for 5 minutes. Breathe in. Breathe out. As you breathe in, know it's possible to relax completely. Close your eyes. Breathe in. Breathe out. With each breath, it's possible to relax so completely that the thought of opening your eyes is more effort than you're willing to expend. As your eyes relax, your body relaxes. You continue to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Each breath in brings you deeper, more peaceful calm. Each breath out releases your tension, your stress. Feel the light of calm, peace, and relaxation coming in. Allow the negative energies to flow out. You don't need them anymore, so let them go. They're no longer a part of your life. They no longer serve you. Feel your body relax. Feel your mind relax. Feel yourself wrapped in a warm blanket of relaxation.
And visualize yourself now in a beautiful place, in a clearing by the trees, next to a waterfall, or by the beach. Any place that's beautiful and serene, just for you. This is your place. This is a special place. You can come here anytime you want. And feel now the breeze on your skin. Feel the earth underneath your feet. And see in front of you, there's a pathway leading to a house. And along the pathway are a series of lights. And follow that path now, leading to your studio, where you do the work of your dreams. And as you come to the house now, open the front door and walk inside. Close the door behind you. And in front of you, you see a staircase. Go to the staircase now and walk up one step at a time. And as you walk up each step, at the top of the stairs, you go down a long hallway, and at the end of the hall, there's a doorway. Open that door and step inside. Close the door behind you. And look around now. This is your studio. This is where you do the work of your dreams. And see what you see now. Invite your team of angels and masters, spirit guides, of animal totems and Amakua to be present to assist you in your creative process. And go sit down now in your comfortable chair and lean back. And realize that on the ceiling there's a beautiful skylight. And there's a button next to you. Press that button to open the skylight. And as you do, you see the most beautiful sky. Deep blue. And the stars are twinkling. And as you breathe in, you feel that connection with all of the universe. Knowing that you are a starseed, You are a being of magnificent creation. And focus on the moon now and allow the rays of light from the moon to stream down and connect now to the area between your eyes and feel that light filling between your eyes, streaming the light, empowering this present moment. And feel that energy and rays of the moon connecting now with your heart. Connecting with that spark of divine Christ essence within you. That light of illumination. And connect with that purity of the core of your being. That spark of illumination within. And allow the light of the moon to add to that light within you. And feel your interconnectedness now with every being in the world whose heart is open, who is aligned with truth, who is aligned with love, who is aligned with peace. And now, take one dream that you have for this year, for this life, for this world, and place that dream like a seed in your heart. Surround it with love. And allow it to be safe there and germinate. And offer it up now to the universe, to the divine, to the rays of the moon. And ask your angels and masters, your spirit guides, your Omakua, to lend their energy and their love to that dream. And allow every being in the world who shares that dream, who can contribute to that dream, to lend their love and their light and their truth to that seed. As you lend your love and your light and your truth to theirs. And know that in this place, you have the power of co-creation. You are the power of infinite possibilities. You are a child of the universe. You are a miracle and maker of miracles. And know you can come here at any time to work on your dreams, to create more, to co-create with the divine, to empower yourself, to regenerate yourself. This is your place. And when you're ready, you can shut the skylight and go ahead and stand up and put your studio back in order. And walk now to the door of your studio. Close the door behind you and walk down the hall. Walk down the stairs. One step at a time. Walk out the front door and close the door behind you. And follow the path of lights back to the clearing where you began. Feeling the breeze on your skin. Feeling the earth under your feet. And know that this is your place. special and serene, just for you.
I'll count from 5 to 1. With each number, you'll become more aware of your surroundings until you're again here in the present. When you return to the present, you'll be relaxed and refreshed. 5. You're coming up and starting to feel yourself in the present. You're gaining energy and feeling fine. 4. You're coming up. You feel refreshed and relaxed. 3. You're starting to sense your surroundings even though your eyes are closed. You're looking forward to your vibrant future as you open to your Christ consciousness, your intuition, and the ancient wisdom you already carry inside. 2. You can feel your eyes almost ready to open. There's no hurry. The calmness and relaxation will stay with you. You'll feel refreshed when your eyes open. 1. Open your eyes. You feel fine. You know what a special miracle you are. Take a moment to feel yourself back. Take a deep, refreshing breath. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. And we will be back tomorrow night with more Good Vibrations Radio.
You've been listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani.